mention you they dentures loose. Run up in a nigga house, pistol in that nigga mouth. Safe cold now, nigga, cough it up and spit it out. Oh my god, I'm flipping out. Flipping out, then dipping out. I tried to turn the fucking page. Oh my god, I ripped it out.
I used to smoke to get high, now I smoke to get vibes. Used to touch the semi, I still touch the semi. Keep it on the east side, keep it on the B side. I feel like I've been Drago, little bitch, and if he dies, he dies. 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 Yeah, run up in that nigga house, pistol in that nigga mouth, but he be talking out his ass. What is all that shit about?
What's up? What's up? What's good with it, everybody? We back again for another episode of the Pick and Roll Podcast. First and foremost, I want to apologize for the delay. I have had to relocate and move back to where I was living. So with that being the case, we were a little behind on our schedule. We tried to get y'all an episode last week, but it just didn't go through as planned. But first and foremost, Sam, what's good?
What's good, world? It's glad to be back. Yeah, good to be back, I mean, my bad.
Yeah, it definitely feels good to be back, man. It's a lot of football to touch on and a lot of stuff that's been going on. As far as football is concerned. So, first and foremost, let's go ahead and jump right on into it. You know, this is going to be my favorite topic of the whole episode. Ohio State versus Penn State. That was, for sure, a banger. It showed us a lot about both teams. Sam, what did you take from that game?
It pains me to say this. It really pains me to say this, but them Buckeyes might be for real. I gotta keep it 100, man. Y'all looked good. That comeback was special. Although I will say, Penn State had every opportunity to win this game. On the touchdown where Benjamin Victor, that touchdown.
Yeah,
ain't that his name?
Benjamin Victor. That was special.
Yeah, it was. It was a great effort on his part. But if I'm the Penn State defensive coordinator, I got issues with that play. Big time issues with that play. That's we have to make that tackle. You got to make that tackle. Were they up 12 at that time?
Yeah, definitely they were.
You got to make that play. I mean, it was still going to be a good game, but you know, you can't let him take that to the house. Yeah. There's no way.
For one, Benjamin Victor is not a speedster, as you could tell. He's more of a stride guy. We like to get him in O-line situations, lob it up and stuff like that.
He looked over his shoulder the whole time he was running that ball, waiting on somebody to pop him.
Yeah.
He knew he was getting hit until he didn't.
Exactly. That's a fact. That's probably Benjamin Victor's longest touchdown of his short college career. He is only a sophomore, I believe, so – he's still got some growing to do. But like you said, that to me showed resilience. That drive alone, yeah, the touchdown drive where we took the lead was major. But that drive right there showed, okay, now we can continue to play ball. Because if we don't score right there, it's pretty much over. That drive was extremely pivotal. And like you said, Penn State had so many opportunities to win that ball game, but that to me is where you separate good teams from great teams. You find a way when you're in a ball game that's tight, you find a way to pull out that victory, and that's just what my Buckeyes did. And throughout the game, I said coming into the game, I was nervous. I was nervous for the simple fact that it was Penn State. For the second reason why I was nervous is because Dwayne Haskins had never started a true road game. He started the TCU game, which was technically a road game, but it was a neutral site, but it was obviously in Texas, so it was closer to them than us. But this was his true test. Not only was it a road test, it was a conference game, big-time conference game. And he was a little shaky, but when it came down to it, he made the plays that needed to be made. Do you believe that Dwayne Haskins is the real deal?
Yeah, I do. He's special. And then you take account the weapons that he has around him. That team is y'all pretty dangerous. I give it to y'all, man. You know I don't like saying that at all.
I've been screaming it since the beginning of the season. Now, one thing that I definitely want to take away from this game is I've been preaching this, and you can
let me I already say. Know what you're about to say.
Exactly. That defensive front. We did not have Nick Bosa, which is arguably the best defensive lineman in the nation. And we were still able to get enough pressure on Trace McSorley to win this ball game. And we shuffled the guys in and out so rapidly that we didn't lose a step at all, no matter who we brought in. And we had a couple injuries happen throughout the game, and it just showed the depth that we have. But on the other side of the spectrum, I want to give Penn State a lot of credit.
Trace McSorley, man.
Oh, my gosh. I've said coming into this season that Trace McSorley might be the best returning quarterback. Everybody's high on Will Greer and guys like that. But I love me some Trace McSorley. And he showed every reason why against the Buckeyes. It wasn't just his legs. He was making plays with his arms. But he's dangerous when he gets out of that pocket, man. He's dangerous.
Definitely. Yeah. I knew he could throw it, but I ain't know he could drop the ditties like that. I guess because Saquon was there. He was just getting overshadowed by Saquon the whole time. But now that you put him on the team where that offense is going to go how he goes, we really getting to see that Trace McSorley might got a little bit of draft stock.
Yeah, that's a fact. And one thing that I wanted to take away from this game, or that I took away from this game, is he's not one of those guys that shies away from the spotlight. This is 2 years in a row where he's played against Ohio State, and his running backs have been virtually non-existent. Last year, Saquon Barkley took the opening kickoff back, and that was pretty much it. Like, he wasn't effective running the ball at all, so it was all done on Trace McSorley, and I believe that's Urban Meyer's scheme. His scheme the last 2 years has been, this game is going to be in Trace McSorley's hands. And last year, he did okay. This year, he came to play. He almost made us pay for making that our scheme. Had his running back given him a little bit more than what he gave him, they were coming out with that victory. That's a fact.
And yeah. Because
all credit to him and James Franklin, because he's a hell of a coach as well.
Yeah, McSorley, he had almost 500 yards of total offense.
Yeah, he was at one point in time beating Ohio State by himself. It's like you knew what play was coming. They ran a quarterback draw almost every third down of one particular drive. And you knew it was coming, but you couldn't stop it. Like, he was making plays. And I believe that was the drive when they went up 12. But he's a baller, man. You can't take nothing away from that, man. He's definitely a baller. But enough about that game. For those who didn't watch, the outcome was Ohio State 27-26. 2 years in a row where it's come down to the wire between those two ball clubs. And if I do say so myself, that'll probably be the occurrence for the next couple of years as well. But enough about that game. Another game that stood out to me was Notre Dame Stanford. Now, that game was pretty tight early, but Notre Dame started to flex their muscle a lot. I mean, you've seen Stanford firsthand since that's the team of y'all's conference. And they've shown that they're a pretty good ball club as far as, what's his name, Arcega Whiteside and Costello. They're pretty much leading that team, which is a little bit surprising seeing as Bryce Love was a Heisman candidate. But
they can't get the running game going. They just can't get it going.
And I think that's the biggest downfall. I was just about to allude to that. Do you think that they are having issues down there with that ball club, or do you think that it'll be a major issue lingering on into conference play with Stanford?
Not really. I still think they'll probably end up maybe only losing one or two more games. But they're not who we thought they were, and the reason being is they can't get the running game going. Because if they had the running game going the way they had it going last year, and then they had a receiver like Arcega Whiteside emerge like this, they'd be one of the top teams in the country, but they're definitely not that.
I can definitely agree with that. That's a fact. That's the missing ingredient in that offense. But let's flip the script a little bit. Notre Dame. Are they for real?
I think now they really might be, since they switched quarterbacks. They benched Brandon Wimbush last week.
Yeah, I saw.
And went with Ian Book. And that kid could throw the football. Man, he could throw it.
I feel like he brings a different dimension to the game.
Yeah, like, he brings the dimension to the game that they need, exactly. That they desperately wanted Wimbush to be able to bring. And we talked about him, I think it was our first, after the week one episode we did after week one, mm-hmm. We talked about Brandon Wimbush. He looked improved throwing the football, but I think we all said that he still wasn't where you actually would want him to be throwing.
Exactly.
And he's been struggling a little bit the past couple weeks, and the coaches was just like, forget it. We're going with the junior, Ian Book. And he's slinging it all around the field.
Yeah, that's a fact. With typical Notre Dame football, you can pretty much, if they have a successful season, you can chalk it up to them having a solid run game and a quarterback that can make the plays with his arms that need to be made on crucial downs. And like you said, Wimbush lacked that. He just did not. He doesn't have that factor. He doesn't have that dimension that they need in a quarterback at Notre Dame. And yeah, man, it seems that them moving on the Book, that looked like that was the right move. So
yeah, and I'm looking at Notre Dame's schedule right now, and after they play Virginia Tech this upcoming week, which we're going to talk about later, they don't play but one more banger, and that's the last game of the season at USC. Yeah, I know. I know this ain't a topic, but I'll go ahead and let y'all know that my boys, USC, the Trojans, we're not good. We're not that good at all. Future's bright, but we're not good. I'll go ahead and admit that to y'all. I know I plug us in every week. This is going to be the last time you're going to hear me talking about this for a while. For real. I'm disappointed in my guys. But the reason why I say that's going to be a banger against Notre Dame is because that's a huge rival football game.
That's a fact.
It's not very many times that game turns out as a blowout, regardless of who's the better team. So I'm looking for that one to still be a good one. But other than that, they've got Pitt, Navy, Northwestern, Florida State, Syracuse. The Syracuse game, that could end up being a banger. I wouldn't be surprised if Syracuse played them tough.
Yeah, Syracuse has a pretty good ball club. They definitely play ranked teams pretty tough. Clemson saw that firsthand. But, that's the biggest thing with Notre Dame is they don't have – from here on, it's smooth sailing until they run into y'all. And I could very well see them running the table all the way up until y'all, and y'all playing spoiler.
That's what I was about to say. I'm not even saying that because I like USC, but looking at their schedule.
That's the history of that rivalry, though.
That USC game just looks like a trap game.
Yeah.
Right now.
Most definitely. You think about a team like Miami, for instance. They had the same type of success that Notre Dame has this year. They had that success last year. Ran into that last game of the season against Pitt, and they lost. That's typical trap game. And like you said, it definitely looks like that USC game could be that for them.
Yeah, because they can't – their schedule's not strong enough to lose a game and get into the four.
Oh, yeah.
They got it.
It's already – the odds are already stacked against them since they're not in the conference. They don't have a championship to bowl for them. So, definitely – they can't – if they want to go into the playoff, they got to go undefeated. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
There's no way around that. Well, that's enough for Notre Dame. Let's go ahead and jump into this next topic now. We were just discussing quarterbacks as far as that was concerned with Notre Dame. So let's jump back into another quarterback situation that's, I guess for a lack of a better word, interesting. Clemson. Clemson's got a lot going on down there with their quarterback situation. What do you make of their situation?
I don't think it's as much of a situation as it seems to be, personally. Lawrence got hurt or whatever, and it does let you see, even Clemson, it made Clemson realize what could happen if Trevor Lawrence gets hurt now that Bryant's gone, but it was just concussion-like symptoms, and he cleared concussion protocol. So, I mean, it gave us a brief look into something, I guess maybe the future or what could be a future, like an alternate universe. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think Trevor Lawrence is fine.
Yeah, it came out that he took all of the first team reps this week, and he's been perfectly fine. But it's almost makes you think that if Kelly Bryant wouldn't have went through what he went through, he would have had the perfect opportunity to step in last week and show, okay, I know y'all wanted to go in a different direction as far as quarterback is concerned, but this is what I'm capable of. He could have still made a case for himself. But
that's why sometimes it's better to stick it out and not shy away from competition, or if you lose the job, just run and transfer. I mean, I understood his decision because, I mean, he can play in the, on the college level, but if he would have just thought about his decision for maybe a week, say, then he'd be looking at maybe not even leaving now, like back as the starter.
Yeah, that's definitely a fact, because the third string quarterback got in and he did what he needed to do in order to get them to victory. But you throw a guy like Kelly Bryant back there in a situation like this, that game isn't even close.
You're not even nervous about the game. Like,
exactly.
Okay, yeah, Trevor's hurt, but we got another guy.
Exactly, and that's what I feel like Nick Saban is doing down.
That's exactly what I was about to say. You know who really is preaching? Look at this. Look, you see what happened up Clemson?
Exactly.
Nick Saban, don't go.
Separate somebody like a Nick Saban from other coaches in the nation. He has a guy who everybody knows he's not happy. He doesn't want to be the backup. He's leaned toward transferring on multiple occasions. So what does Nick Saban do? Nick Saban finds a way to tie in both of those quarterbacks and give them both equal snaps. Also, by doing so, he's making Jalen Hurts play more games than he would be able to if he were going to redshirt. So it's like killing two birds with one stone. He's getting a quarterback first team reps. He's also getting a quarterback enough reps to where he's happy. But then on the flip side, he's also playing him out. So if you do transfer, you're not going to go somewhere and get all of those years, especially if you got the opportunity to go play against me somewhere.
Yeah, in the SEC.
Exactly.
They can't transfer through the SEC, can they? I don't think they let you do that in the SEC.
I don't know.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can transfer to another SEC school.
Maybe. I think if you do that, isn't that when you have to sit out a year or something?
I think SEC is the one conference in the country who doesn't allow interconference.
Cam Newton did it. Or no, he went JUCO.
Yeah. He ain't transferred. Technically he did, but he loopholed it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that kind of makes sense then.
I'm pretty sure that's what they rule is, because they be asking Nick Saban about it all the time.
Well, yeah, if that's the rule, then he's pretty much safe. But nevertheless, he's handling the situation like a great coach would. He's making sure both quarterbacks are happy. But as far as Clemson is concerned, I think I'm not so much of a believer in Clemson as I was to begin the season. Clemson was definitely the real deal. But
I think they'll be in the four.
Yeah, I believe so too.
Because they're going to win the ACC.
Yeah, I don't think there's a team out there in the ACC that poses a threat to them. If anybody, it's Miami. And that's another team that I like, because they made that change at quarterback that all Miami fans have been screaming about, and put Perry in as the starting quarterback. And he looked phenomenal last week. But even with that being said, I don't see them as a team beating Clemson.
They moved Hunter Renfro to the quarterback position now too.
I saw that. I did.
He third team QB. I'm pretty sure my Uncle John coached Hunter Renfro at Socastee in Myrtle Beach.
For real?
Yeah. Huh. If he didn't coach him, then it was the year after my Uncle John was on the staff up there. But yeah, he coached at Socastee. That's where Hunter Renfro, he played quarterback in high school.
Yeah, I feel like you told me that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel maybe he did coach him, because it sounds familiar once you brought it up. But yeah, he's definitely a guy that they can throw back there and get some type of production out of. But Clemson's just, like I said, they're not as scary as they were before, as they were earlier in the season. Don't get it twisted. That defense is still the real deal. But offensively, I'm not fearing them the way I'm fearing Alabama and Ohio State or Georgia. I don't fear them in that same light. But like you said, they definitely are looking like they're going to be that fourth team into the conference, into the playoffs, just like those other three that I mentioned. But it's still early, so you never know. You never know how the season will play out. But
go ahead. Syracuse is a pretty good team, though.
They are. Syracuse, whatever's going on at Syracuse, they need to keep doing it because they're on the right track. They've been a competitor for the last few years in that ACC.
Yeah, they have. It seemed like they're trying to get back.
Yeah, when they upset Clemson, a lot of people was laughing at Clemson. Oh, y'all got beat by Syracuse. That's a basketball school, all of this. Syracuse is turning that program around slowly but surely. And that's definitely a team that people are going to have to keep eyes on before it's all said and done. That's a fact. I think I'm a fan of what Syracuse is starting to do with their football program. Definitely. But speaking of teams that are, I guess, keeping pace or that are staying relevant or trying to become so, what do you think about LSU, man? They don't seem to be taking a step back. When they played Miami in week one, everybody knew that, or everybody considered that an upset, which me and you didn't. We both picked LSU to win that ball game. But even from that moment on, it seems like they're ascending. They're not dropping. They're playing pretty good opponents, and they're still looking as good as they were in week one. Do you think LSU can keep up pace and, I guess, be a solid contender in that SEC?
Yeah, I think they'll contend in the SEC. I think it'll come down to the Bama game, which I think they're going to lose. But, I mean, they play Georgia next week.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to find out. Shit, we're going to find out real soon. They got Florida this week, Georgia next week, Mississippi State and Alabama.
See,
it's the next 4 weeks for them.
That's the thing with me. I've gone on record saying that I think LSU will take their lumps in the conference, but I think the deciding factor is going to be that Alabama game, and I got them beating Alabama. Are they on the road to Alabama, or Alabama got to come to them?
Nah, Bama coming to them.
That's what I thought. I got Bama losing.
I think you got Bama losing. I could see that because I think LSU might go. They might beat. Well, they're definitely going to beat Florida this week.
They'll drop two of the next four.
Yeah, I think they'll drop the Georgia game, and I think they'll drop the Mississippi State game back to back. So then I guess that means I'm gonna have to. They're not going to lose three in a row.
I don't see it.
So yeah, maybe.
Well, maybe
they could.
Maybe they'll lose Georgia, beat Mississippi State, lose Alabama. They could go that
route. Yeah. Yeah, but the next four, they're going 2-2 over the next four.
Yeah, I definitely think they'll win two of the next four. Like I said, I've got them losing to Georgia, beating Alabama. But, I mean, you never know how that goes. We'll see how that plays out. But
hold on, I need to say something to you. I know this ain't got nothing to do with LSU, but while we was talking about Georgia, I need y'all WVU fans to go watch Georgia play, because I seen a couple of people on Facebook talking about the top five teams they've seen so far. It was Bama 1, Ohio State 2, West Virginia 3, Clemson 4, and Georgia 5.
I'm like, nah, what? They tripping.
Georgia very well might be the best team in the country.
And I've been screaming that since week one. Georgia is scary. They're extremely scary, but they're a team that isn't getting as much recognition as the Alabamas and Ohio States, but they are right there with those two ball clubs. And
WVU fans ain't catching them playing because they playing at 3:30 at the same time as West Virginia. Now they can't be watching Georgia play because it was like my eye test top five or something. And like all kinds of WVU fans was like reposting it all night on the timeline. I ain't even comment on it, but I'm just like
that they couldn't even finish Texas Tech off.
I think WVU's offense is extremely explosive. Well, yeah. I think they're better than usual, but they're not better than old Georgia. And I still don't think they'll make the four because I think they're going to lose a game or two.
Yeah,
if they go undefeated, then you can't deny
it. I agree.
But I don't think they'll run the
table. They won't run the table because they won't beat Oklahoma. That's a fact. I don't see that happening. But also along with that, WU's offense is explosive. But if you've watched them, you can see that their offense sputters. And it sputters at very inopportune times. That's what happened last week. Their defense really won that game last week. That interception at the end of the game sealed it. Their offense couldn't get anything going in that second half. You come up against a team like a Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, teams with high-powered offenses, as Texas Tech normally has, let me scratch that. Teams that have high-powered offense as Texas Tech has, but has a little bit of defense, you lose that ball game last week. And that's what's going to happen against a team like Oklahoma. You can't afford to have mishaps or, I guess, no execution out of your offense when it comes into those games. Oklahoma's a team to where you're going to have to score almost every time you touch the ball if you want to beat Oklahoma because they can put it up. Especially this year's offense. That's a fact. But that doesn't surprise me that WU fans said that, man. Me and you both have screamed for the last, I don't know how many years. WU fans are the most annoying fans in college football, and this is another reason why. Oh, my goodness.
I was like, better than Georgia? Georgia? So they had WU as the third best team in the country.
Yeah, it's been a but long this time is, since they didn't seen a WU team as explosive as this.
Yeah,
team,
but. This is so I'm about to say this is one of the best teams that West Virginia's had. In
yeah,
a while.
I agree.
At least offensively, at least.
Yeah, you got to go back to the Geno days, Geno Tavon days, to see an offense as explosive as this one.
Yeah,
that's a fact. But yeah, as far as LSU is concerned, man, you know I love seeing LSU succeed because. I mean, that's my guy. Joe Burrow he's the leading engine in that or the caboose of that engine and that train that's rolling. And last week he really showed that I can ball. I know this is a run heavy offense, but I can let it fly. He had 200 plus passing yards last week and he looked
great. What's been surprising me is bro, he can run.
See, that's the thing. I did not know Dwayne Haskins was as slow as he is. Joe Burrow may have a step on Dwayne Haskins, but
oh, he's faster.
The
than
thing
Haskins,
with
bro.
Haskins was, I guess he was so accurate, and I guess he was that leader that the team could get behind, and Joe Burrow wasn't that guy. Granted, I don't want to make this a race thing at all, but it's been a long time since Ohio State's had a white quarterback. With a bunch of black skill players. And I think that has a lot to do with Dwayne Haskins winning that job. You have to have a guy that your team is going to look at and actually be like, okay, I can get behind this guy. Joe Burrow is a guy who, as I've seen being a Buckeye fan the last couple years, he doesn't have that swagger about him that the past Ohio State quarterbacks have had. And that to me is a bit of a reason why
he got the same type of skill players though at LSU.
Yeah, that's a fact. I don't think that it's a issue as far as him being as talented or at least talented or not being able to work with the skill players. It's more of a connection type thing. When it comes like this game, for instance, this past Ohio State game with Penn State, Dwayne Haskins. The entire time, whether he was up, whether he was down, he was in his receiver space telling them, listen, this is what we need to do. He was in his O-line space. Give me some more time. I need this. I need that blitz coming from here. Like, he just has that grit, that leadership, that swagger about him that you praised JT Barrett for having last year. And Joe Burrow is more of a reserve type guy. When that situation happened, if that situation would have went down last week and Joe Burrow was the starting quarterback, I don't think he can rally those guys the way that Dwayne Haskins did. That to me was what played a lot into it. But I love Joe Burrow. I would have been completely happy with him being our starting quarterback.
Yo, this is the second time I watched him play, and he had 90 yards rushing.
He's an effective runner, but he's not a he didn't fit our
system. He reminded me of Luck
because
running wise.
Yeah, I can agree running with that. Wise. And that's a great comparison because you look at a guy like Luck, he was in a run heavy offense, a pro style offense, to where he didn't necessarily have to run, but when he did run, he was effective. The difference between Joe Burrow and LSU's offense and Ohio State's offense is we need him to run often, the way that we need most of our quarterbacks to. And I feel like we would have relied a little too much on him running. With a guy like Dwayne Haskins, it's almost like we don't need him to run because he passes so well. And that, like last week, it almost came back to hurt us. If you were if anyone was following me while I was following the game, we got into the red zone so many times and couldn't score because they keyed on our run game. Like they didn't fear the read option at all. And that's the staple of our offense. I said, I think it's time we get Tate involved. And my biggest thing is maybe, I don't know if Urban didn't want to show it yet or what, but when it gets down to crucial possessions like that, I don't care if you make, at this point in time, you make Tate a situational guy, Tate Martell, that is. He's got to be involved somewhere in there with our running offense, like short downs or goal line situations. I can see you bringing him in and being effective because we had a 3rd-and-1, I believe it was, or maybe a 4th-and-1, where they had just ran J.K. Dobbins twice in a row. So you know the read option is coming. You know that Dwayne Haskins is about to pull it eventually. So he decides to pull it. We get stopped. We don't get the first down. Little things like that, that's what hurts us. And I don't know. I think Joe Burrow would have been – he wouldn't have been as comfortable in our offense as he is in that LSU offense because he looks extremely comfortable. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the team is starting to believe in him as well, and that's why I think their performance is going up every week.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I can definitely agree with that. But they seem to be – they seem to be the real deal. But like you said, we're going to see within these next few weeks. They definitely have some they've got some tough matchups on their schedule. But let's transition to the NFL. Well, we just touched on a quarterback from LSU, a new guy in Joe Burrow. Let's touch on another new guy in the NFL. Mahomes, he's special. It's special. There's really no way around that. Do you think it's Mahomes looking to be is the that real way. Deal, man?
It's looking that way, but my only thing is with these quarterbacks. You see, in the NFL, your first 16 or your first year, however many you play in that first year, I know he's not a rookie, but this is first year playing, really. Don't nobody got that much film on him yet. So I'm not saying he's not great. But I'm going to wait until next year before I say for sure that he is. But right now, he's looking special.
Yeah, it might be a little too premature to actually call him the real deal. But the Monday night game, that definitely showed some grit out of him. It showed that you can scheme me up. You can throw whatever you want at me. I'm going to still be the quarterback that I need to be. And like you said, it definitely comes down to them not having much film on Mahomes. But you throw in a quarterback as talented as he is or as he seems to be with an offense as prolific as the one that you just handed him. You basically just handed him the keys to a Ferrari and told him, go as fast as you can.
Yeah, he's looking like he was the perfect quarterback for that team.
Yeah, there had to be a reason why they switched gears with Alex Smith, and we're definitely showing. It's definitely showing now.
But see, my thing is, though, we see runs like this all the time. Well, we see little stretches like this from all kinds of different quarterbacks, though. It's only been 4 games.
Yeah.
He is going crazy. And yeah, he set the record for most touchdowns in 3 games or whatever, ever in NFL. But we just seen the guy go on a crazy 3-game run and set an NFL record. First quarterback with 3 straight 400-plus games, right?
Yeah.
And then he just came right on crashing down, right on back to earth. I'm not saying Mahomes going to do that, but I'm just saying it's a little early.
Yeah, premature.
For us to be yelling he's special. He looking special for sure. But we don't know if he really going to be that or not. So we got to chill a little
Granted, the guy that you just compared him to was a guy who's
we've seen him before. But I'm just saying, football, well, the quarterback position is kind of like shooting in basketball. You, like, you can get
games,
hot.
Yeah.
You, not games, like stretches. You can get hot.
Yeah, I agree.
So you can't, like, you can't tell me that he's going to be falling, throwing left-hand passes, and that shit going to be working every week.
Yeah, that's
that shit was pretty. But, bro, that's playing with the devil right there. In the NFL?
Yeah, I agree.
That's not going to be riding all the time. It's just not going
to happen. I agree. I'm a believer in Mahomes for the simple fact that you look at a situation like this isn't the first time that Mahomes has stepped into a situation and taken the reins of an offense and made them look spectacular. You look back to, matter of fact, no, you look no further than last year's Heisman winner, Baker Mayfield. Everybody knows Baker transferred, or most people know Baker Mayfield transferred from Texas Tech to Oklahoma. A lot of people don't know the reason why he transferred is because he had the opportunity to step up and ball with Texas Tech, which he did. He played pretty well, but behind him was a stud and Mahomes, and they wanted to turn the offense over to Mahomes, and they did that, and they didn't make a mistake at all. So Mahomes isn't new to taking over prolific offenses and being extremely effective. So I think Mahomes is a really good quarterback, but only time will tell if he's a great quarterback.
He could. Another thing that could happen is he could start feeling himself and start making some crazy erratic throws. Feeling like he could do more than he can. You never. I'm not saying he's not. To me, he looks like he is going to be great. But as I said, it's just a little too early.
I agree. I ain't even crying. Take that leap.
I ain't crowned my guy till this year.
Oh, my gosh. I should have known that was coming sometime soon.
Nah, I'm going to wait because we on the list.
Yeah, we'll touch on that, man. But as far as Mahomes, he definitely impressed against the Broncos. He's definitely impressing throughout the season thus far, especially in fantasy. I'm loving it. I got him in one of my leagues. So he's looking good. But let's jump to another guy who – who was the highest fantasy player, but has yet to step on the field, that being Le'Veon. A story just came out that Le'Veon plans to report to the Steelers in week 7, which is their bye week. My question to you is, do you think he'll be there in week 7? Do you think he'll still be a Steeler by week 7, or do you think he'll get dealt by then?
Like, don't the Steelers, like, kind of have to keep Le'Veon Bell? Like, don't they see what happened to the Raiders?
I mean,
when they just traded that guy. And don't they see what happened to the Rams when they signed that guy?
Yeah, see, that's – I definitely agree with that. If you look at it from that spectrum, it's almost like everything's playing out right in front of you now. So it's almost like you don't have to make such a difficult decision because you see the benefits of keeping a franchise guy around.
It's right
in front of your face. Like, it's blatant. You have two teams that did your only two outcomes in this situation, and you see one of them having the ultimate success. You see the other one being an ultimate fail.
And then you could even take it a step further and say, look at the team that the Raiders traded Khalil Mack
and
too.
Their success.
They're leading the division. This man had a sack and forced fumble in every game this season.
Yeah, he.
Well, a strip sack in every game this season.
That to me was just senseless. Everybody, a lot of people, I won't say everybody, a lot of people were just like, I mean, it's cool. They traded him. It's like, no, it's not cool at all. You just traded arguably the best defensive player in the league.
The funniest shit about that whole situation is every week they in the press conference complaining about their damn pass rush.
Hello?
Like, shut up, bro. We don't want to hear it no more.
It's a wrap. Y'all put yourself in this position. I don't want to hear that at all either. That's ridiculous. But Le'Veon, I mean, I feel like you said, the Steelers almost have to keep Le'Veon at this point because right now they're – they're heading toward Raider territory. they're definitely heading toward that land, and it just seems to be almost like a warning at this point. Like, this is what you have to look forward to if you don't bring Le'Veon back. Le'Veon is a guy to where it's like the Steelers need Le'Veon. The situation that they're in right now, you have an aging quarterback. You have stud wide receivers. Matter of fact, you have the stud wide receiver with the budding stud wide receiver in Juju Smith-Schuster. All you're missing is that running back. Once you get that guy Le'Veon back, do you know how dangerous your offense will be? We're looking at another Ram team. If you get Le'Veon Bell back with that offense, oh my gosh. Like, what Juju's doing right now, that would be scary.
Yeah, but it looks like I can see the Steelers making the dumb decision, because I feel like the NFL, the owners, I feel like they just had a standoff right now with the players.
I agree.
I feel like a pissing match.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is, bro. It's just some petty shit going on between the owners and the players. And I also, to Steeler fans and everybody else who got a tie on your record, a tie is a loss.
Fat.
Right. That if not it's help, not a win, if it is not a win, it is an L. You get into the playoffs off wins in the NFL, not losses. So if you got – if one team 11-5 and you 10-5-1, guess who's making the playoffs?
Exactly.
Like, that is an L. If it ain't helping you in your W's, it's an L.
That's a fact.
So wasted week.
And not to mention with them, it's a lot worse because that tie was a division game. So
that's
extremely
tragic.
Pivotal. You look at a team like the Bengals right now, and you don't want to have no tie sitting at your record. Not to say the Bengals are going to be what they're expected to be, because I mean, come on now, it's the Bengals. We've seen this time and time again. But
ain't nobody buying into the Bengals but Sauce.
That's a fact. But I mean, Sauce also is a Tampa Bay fan who thought that their offense was going to stay as high powered as it looked in those first couple weeks.
Yeah.
Wasn't buying that one. But yeah, as far as Le'Veon is concerned, he's gotta stay in Pittsburgh. For me, he's got to stay in Pittsburgh, because the team that they're looking to trade him to, I'm not trying to see Le'Veon twice a year. They're trying to send him to the reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. What are you thinking? I understand you're trying to trade him out of the AFC, but you're going to trade him to the team that just won it all? What are you doing? Trade him to somebody that's not going to be as competitive as the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, that doesn't make sense to me at all. But, I mean, like you said, owners right now are at some type of standoff with the players, and I'm not understanding the decision-making at all. I don't get it. But, hey, I guess we'll see how that decides to play out. Week 7 is when Le'Veon is supposed to report. So, I figure if he's not dealt by then, they'll definitely keep him around. But, on to my least favorite topic of this segment, man. that team out in Los Angeles. Just how good are those Rams? Sam, the floor is open. Go ahead and let us know just how good your boys are, man.
For real. I mean, everybody already knows how good I think my Rams are, especially if you listen to the show. I picked us to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl this year before the season started. So clearly, I think we the best team in the league. I thought that coming into the year. So now, after seeing us play these first 4 weeks,
it hasn't wavered any, huh?
Oh, man. It's gotten worse. And look, in the drought that we've been into, bro, don't talk to me about my Rams. Okay? I'm on top of the world right now. You don't even understand.
Yeah, man, I'll go out on the limb and say the Rams look like the scariest team in the NFL. Because it's even – you look at teams like – matter of fact, like last Thursday when you guys played against Minnesota on the Thursday night game, that to me was even a scary showing, because you get a team like Minnesota who played their best game of the season and still lost. Like, they looked good. They looked extremely good, way better than they had throughout the year. But they still came up short. Like, it, there was nothing else that they could have done to win that ball game. It just,
you can't stop that offense.
The better team won. And I just, it's, you can't say enough about McVay and what he's done with that program down there. You basically, all you needed was an offensive mind down there with all of that talent, and then you throw in a guy like Goff who's ready to come in and ball. I wasn't the highest on Goff, I'll admit. I said from gate you guys should have took Carson Wentz with that first pick. But
I wanted Wentz as well. But Goff, it wasn't like, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I wanted Wentz as well, but it wasn't that I didn't think Goff was good. I just thought Wentz was going to be better.
Yeah, and that's still coming to form. It does seem to me that Carson Wentz will be the better out of the two, but
it's not going to look that way.
And it's not that that big of a gap. Like, it, I feel like it's there. Like, you can see that Carson Wentz is the better quarterback, but it. At the same time, you could also make a case for Goff being just as good. It's not that, oh, yeah, Carson Wentz was definitely the guy they should have taken. It's almost like you look at a guy like Jared Goff, and it's like, well, you didn't make no mistake.
It was a win-win.
Exactly.
And the Eagles recognized that. That's why they moved up to two. And so they sold for that number two. Like, shit, either whoever the Rams take, we take another.
Yeah, that's a fact. And it was even better for the Goff situation, seeing as you guys were moving to Los Angeles and you went out and drafted a Cali quarterback.
I think that played into the decision.
I feel like that was a deciding factor to me.
Yeah, it could. I feel like that could have been true. I mean, that could be true.
You're looking to build a fan base in a new place. What better way to do it than to grab a guy that's familiar?
Yeah.
I definitely think that was the case, but yeah, man, I'll just go ahead and say it. The Rams looking like the best team in the NFL, but just like we said with Mahomes, it's week four. We've seen teams start out strong.
Yeah, but the way this offense is, it's not going to slow down. And the reason why is on first down, McVay is so creative, dog. It's crazy. Like, first down, you never know. Is he going to throw the short pass for 3 or 4 yards? Is he going to hand it to Gurley for 5 or 6 yards? Like, are we going to run a reverse? He got motions coming. Guys in motion. He faking handoffs, faking screen passes. Like, he playing with your eyes. You got to be disciplined out there.
Yeah, it's definitely dynamic. But to me, the guy that is the difference maker on that offense is Cooper Kupp. You get a guy that's as effective as he is in the slot on the offense that dangerous. It's not even so much as that he's effective, it's also the fact that he's consistent. He's not a guy that's just here this week, next week, he's not really there. Every week, Cooper Kupp is somewhere around. Like, you can't watch a Los Angeles game. I was about to say St. Louis. You can't watch a Los Angeles Rams game and not see Cooper Kupp. He jumps off the screen to me.
Man, that whole receiving corps fire. What you talking about?
Man, see.
Everybody. Fire. Right.
I'll be the first to say I was never big on Robert Woods. I was big with him at USC, but since coming to the league, I've never been big on him. He's made me a believer this year.
Oh, you already know how I'm feeling.
I told you so. You've been screaming Robert Woods for the longest.
That was my dog. He's my favorite USC receiver of recent times.
For real?
Yeah. I liked him more than Marquise Lee. I liked
what?
Him. Yes, bro. Yes, Robert Woods, bro. Yes, that was my dog. I used to love some Robert Woods, bro. He was just special. But the year Marquise Lee broke out, it was because we had Robert Woods on our team.
That's not too outlandish. My favorite USC receiver is definitely Marquise Lee, followed by Juju. I was a big Juju fan. I like Juju a lot.
Yeah, I like, you know, I like them all, but
yeah.
Robert Woods was definitely my favorite.
Yeah, I can see that. You've been preaching Robert Woods for a while, but
And then Brandon Cooks, too, man.
Exactly. That, and I think that's the deciding factor, is that they've got Brandon Cooks to buy in. It seems like everywhere Cooks has gone, there's been that rumor of him being a cancer in a locker room and people not really wanting to play with him. That doesn't seem to be the case in Los Angeles. I don't know if it's because y'all are winning or what, but whatever it is, he seems to be on the same page with everybody. I don't see no animosity out there on the sidelines, or you don't hear anything about the locker room issues or any of that. So
our receiving core works very well together, because Cooks, he's like our deep threat. He's going to take the top off the D.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Woods, he's more like
he's your possession guy.
Yeah, and he runs like the intermediate routes, 20, 25, somewhere like that. And Cup, he's just like you said, the perfect slot guy.
Yeah, he's
doing all the slot work out there.
And then you throw in a guy like Gurley,
who can turn
around and hand it off to him, or send him in motion and line him up in the slot, and he's just as dynamic.
But he lines up out wide sometimes.
Yeah, he's
lining up at receiver.
Matter of fact, it was last week against
Minnesota. He lined up at receiver.
Like, he lined up out wide and did his thing. Like, he's not your typical tailback. Like, he has route running skills. He's not a running back that can catch the ball out the backfield. He's a running back that can line up against a cornerback and get the best of it.
Yeah, like, if we ever were to get another running back, you know how dang, like, man, that'd be crazy. We could line up Gurley on the outside, and then have another tailback back there that's dangerous as hell, running it and coming out the backfield too.
Yeah,
just another dynamic.
Yes, and y'all's tight end is starting to come around a little bit too. I believe it was last game that I watched, he looked like he was a little effective out there as well. But y'all are just with the defense as good
that's
as
what I'm
y'all's
saying.
Defense. The offense should not be that prolific.
No,
that combination right there, that screams Super Bowl. And if you guys happen to go out and get one, I don't know if I'd be too upset, because right now
I don't think nobody would.
Yeah,
it's been so long. We one of them teams where they're gonna be like, "Oh, the Rams got them."
Oh nah. We got to be one of those teams.
Man, don't nobody. But everybody hates the Cowboys besides their fans, so nobody's gonna be happy if the Cowboys win. But Cowboy fans.
That's a fact. But yeah, it has been a little minute for you guys, and it seems like y'all are definitely ascending in the direction of being that good. But
bro, it's been so long for us to actually even be contending, bro. I wouldn't even be all that mad if we didn't win it all this year, if we went like 13-3 and made a little run in the playoffs, bro. I swear I wouldn't.
Yeah, I feel like that was y'all's fate last year. I feel like this year, y'all got to at least get there. If y'all get to the conference championship and lose, that's not really a disappointment.
I'm telling you, as a fan, I'm not going to be sick, bro. It's been that long, bro. I'm just happy to be excited about my team. Like, I never – you know, I don't even really even be fooling with the NFL.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's true. We've been trash for so long, bro. I don't even – it's just different. You don't – I guess, man, I don't know why you don't feel that way, because y'all trash too. So
I don't feel that way because.
But y'all do make the playoffs here and there, though. Like, we wasn't making the playoffs. We was a lot. That's why we got all this defenders and shit. Good offensive line.
Exactly. I feel like with us, it wasn't so much as we were trash. I feel like with us, it was we had hope every year. Whether we were making the playoffs or not, it came down to the last couple games of getting into that playoffs. That's just how it went with us. And then after we drafted Zeke, we turned around and had that 13-3 season. That to me just bolstered everything. It's like, okay, yeah, we got the squad. But then everything just started going downhill, and I don't even want to talk about my Cowboys right now, because we ain't on the list tonight. We're not on the topic list. So yeah, man, y'all, the Rams is the real deal. Y'all looking like it within this first four games. So we'll see if y'all can keep pace and continue to flex y'all's muscle. But let's switch gears a little bit and talk about a team who I guess was supposed to be that team this year, but they don't seem to be what they were supposed to be. And that's the Falcons. Are they in trouble? Do you think the Falcons are in trouble?
I mean, yeah, they're depleted. Everybody's hurt. They done lost like 10 players to injury. I mean, they can score, so they're going to win some games, but they're not a contender this year. I mean, that's the way it happens in the NFL sometimes with them injuries.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I feel like a big change in their squad this year is they're putting a huge emphasis on getting the ball to Julio this year, getting him more involved in the offense. And it's not showing that they're as successful offensively with him being the focal point. Like last year, you got the ball to Julio when you could. You didn't force feed Julio. You had your guys like Taylor Gabriel, who's no longer there now, Mohamed Sanu. You had Austin Hooper, their tight end, emerging last year. You also had both of the running backs getting off. But this year, the only guy that seems to be getting off is Julio. They're almost like they're making a conscious effort to get Ridley involved the way that they got Taylor Gabriel involved. He had a good game last week and a decent game the week before that, but he's not as much of an offense as that is. Yeah, but they're not really – I don't feel like they're so much as running a lot of plays to get him the ball. It's more like we're looking at Julio. He's not open. Dump it off to Calvin Ridley.
That's the down. We always talk about it. That's the downfall of having one of those top receivers.
That's true.
Like, you got to be if you got a top guy, he's got to be unselfish because you got to be able to spread the ball around.
Yeah, I agree.
If you can't spread the ball around, your offense ain't gonna be as explosive as you want it to be, or as people think it should be with that type of receiver out there. You can't have the quarterback feeling like he got to get Julio the ball, or Julio gonna be mad and barely running his routes and shit. Like, I'm not saying that's what Julio doing, but I'm just saying, like, you can't have them receivers out there and they wanting the ball all the time.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But like you said, a big part of their issue was injuries, man. They're losing a lot. They've lost a lot on defense. As you know, earlier in the season, Devontae Freeman got hurt. But it's just – it's a lot that's going on down there, man. They've got to shape up quick if they're going to consider themselves contenders. And like you said, it's not looking like that's going to be the case for those boys this year, which is sad because they're 2 years removed from a Super Bowl, and they're really looking like a completely different ball club at this point.
We see in the NFL, it's hard to maintain success on a year-to-year basis
unless you're the Patriots.
Yeah, they're like really the only team who really does it. But the next closest team would be probably the Steelers.
Or the Packers.
Yeah. It's like, it's not a lot of teams that do it on a consistent basis.
It's about three of them.
Yeah. It's not easy to do.
I agree 100%. And, I mean, the Falcons just – maybe they're not that team that we all thought that they were going to be. Like you said, there's only a few teams that are – consistent competitors or consistent contenders. And I've thought that the Falcons were taking strides toward being that, but apparently they're not. So, I mean, we'll see how this continues to play out. Cause there's no question about it that Matty Ice is their guy. He's as good as it gets for them. I don't feel like you can go in a different direction there. They've just got to find a way to get the rest of their weapons involved. There's no way you got a guy like Austin Hooper, who last year looked to be one of the top tight ends in the NFL, this year just looking almost non-existent. Mohamed Sanu just doesn't look like he's out there at all. And your first-round pick, Calvin Ridley, has 6 touchdowns, as you mentioned. But you would think that if a freshman or a rookie wide receiver has 6 touchdowns, then the offense would be doing something. And it's doing enough, I guess, just not consistently. And that defense is just god awful.
Yeah, they're going for them to win games with all these injuries. They're going to have to outscore people every week, and that's going to be tough to do.
Yeah.
Especially the way damn near everybody putting up points this year.
Yeah, you saw last week they played against Cincinnati, and Cincinnati filled it up too.
Everybody been filling it up for real.
Yeah, that's the way the NFL is looking to be, but. Let's jump into our pick'ems for the week. We'll start with college. Number 7 Oklahoma versus number 19 Texas Red River Shootout. Who you got?
this game is always a
the banger.
I'm going Oklahoma in the close one.
I'm going Texas in the close one with the upset. I think Tom Herman pulls it off. Next game, number 5 LSU versus number 22 Florida. Who you got?
I got LSU.
Yeah, I got LSU too, but I think the game will be closer than people think. I am still taking LSU though. Number 6 Notre Dame versus number 24 Virginia Tech. Who you got?
Notre Dame. How is Virginia Tech still ranked after that loss? They just took the Old Dominion.
Couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you at all, but I'm taking Notre Dame too. Closer game than people expect, but I'm taking Notre Dame.
Yeah, it's going to be a banger. They're coming off that loss. It's going to be a good one, but they're not beating Notre Dame.
I agree. Then your last one, we got number 8 Auburn at Mississippi State. Who you got?
I'm going with Stidham. Auburn.
Auburn. I'm going Fitzgerald. These boys aren't ranked anymore. I feel like they're going to come out and really show people that, yeah, we're still a good ball club. We could still compete with the best of the best. And I'm still not a believer in Auburn, so I'm taking Mississippi State. Let's see. If I had to score, I'm going to go 24-14 Mississippi State. What would be your score if you had to score that one?
17-13.
Yeah, that sounds like a typical SEC score.
Yeah.
All right, so let's switch gears. NFL, Miami versus Cincinnati. Who you got?
Cincinnati.
It's a little tough one for me. I think I'm going to go Miami. They're going to bounce back strong off of that New England loss. Atlanta versus Pittsburgh, two teams that are that aren't living up to expectations. Who you got in that one?
Pittsburgh by default.
By default. I don't like that. I think I'm going to go Atlanta. Pittsburgh's really going to – they're really going to see how much they're going to miss Le'Veon within these next couple weeks.
If they lose this to the Falcons, they might as well cancel the season.
Yeah, I think last week's game with the Falcons and the Bengals was a bit of a wake-up call for the Falcons to show that we can still fill it up, but it's going to take a couple stops. And with the way that this – Steelers offense is looking, I don't think that they're going to be able to put up as many points as they need to, or it's going to be a crucial Big Ben turnover to cause them the game. But I'm taking Atlanta. Last game, game of the week, Jacksonville versus Kansas City. Jaguars and Chiefs, who you got and what's your score?
I'm taking the Jaguars 24-20.
I like that. I'm taking Jacksonville as well, and I'm going to go Jacksonville 21-17. So I think that Jacksonville defense is going to be a bit much for Mahomes. He's coming off of a tough defense against Von Miller and company. Now he's got to turn around and play this load of stars. For Jacksonville, probably the toughest defense he's seen since being in the NFL. And I don't think that he'll have the game that he needs to have in order to win this ball game. But
yeah, you're going to have Jacksonville licking their chops to be the first team to stop him.
I agree. And with a team like Jacksonville, these are the type of games that they get up for. They like seeing quarterbacks like this to where they can just, okay, yeah, we're about to show you what we're really capable of as well. You ain't about to go crazy against us. But I don't know. I'm skeptical because, as you know, Fournette got re-injured, so he won't be playing again.
Is that going to be the story of his career?
Oh, my gosh. I was just about to ask you that. It's looking like it may be because, I mean, he's so effective and so good when he plays. But the question is, when is he going to play? Like, how often is he going to play? How frequently will you see Leonard Fournette suit up and come out here and play? It's seeming to be that he's going to be that guy that's just really, really good but stays injured all the time. So, I don't know. He's still a young buck, so hopefully he's got a lot more football to be played. But we'll see how that goes, man. But that's pretty much it for the episode. Was there anything else you wanted to add, Bergin?
No, that's it.
All right, man. Like I said, we apologize for the delay, but we are back and we will be more frequent and regular. Oh, before we get out of here, basketball season is right around the corner, guys. We almost at the best time of the year when we got NFL, college football, NBA, college basketball, all on at the same time. Did you happen to catch the Lakers preseason game, Sam? Or highlights, at least?
You know, I don't pay no attention to no preseason basketball.
I was just going to ask you how you thought LeBron looked in that Laker uniform.
Oh, yeah, I did see LeBron in the Laker uniform out there. I did.
He looked really weird to me.
Yeah, it do look weird, man.
He looked very weird. From warm-ups all the way up until tip-off, he just looked weird out there. But I don't know. I guess we'll see how that plays out. Lakers did lose their first preseason game. But like you said, it is preseason. Who really cares?
I don't even know why they do NBA preseason games.
Yeah, I feel like it's a waste of time at this
point. We know why they do it, but it's stupid.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of that, I missed a preseason game, man. The Celtics and the Hornets played down here. They played at Carolina's at the Dean Dome.
For real?
Yeah, I was sick that I missed that. Tatum played and Kyrie played. But, yeah, man, that's pretty much it for the Pick and Roll podcast, folks. Tune in next week. We will have another episode for y'all. Signing out, it's your boy Ish.
And it's your boy Sam, man. Appreciate y'all for listening.
We out.